the Indiana School of the Sky Science Series.
Great Days in Science, the story of man's mastery of his own mind. Welcome to another chapter in Great Days in Science, the Indiana School of the Sky Science Series, broadcast each week at this time to students and their friends. Produced by Indiana University with the cooperation of the Indiana State Department of Education and this radio station, this series reenacts and recreates Great Days in Science. Today, the story of a universe so small that it cannot be seen with the naked eye, and yet possessed of such strength that it could destroy worlds. The program, The Atom Yields Power.
An automobile speeds westward on Highway 66, following the long, monotonous stretch across north-central New Mexico. The driver is visibly tired, for he has driven a long way. Oklahoma City, then the big jump to Amarillo, finally Albuquerque only 20 minutes ago. A long drive. So long that even a little roadside drive-in looks inviting. The driver pulls his dusty sedan into the driveway and up alongside two faded gasoline pumps. Gets out and faces the station attendant.
Howdy, mister. Fill it up.
I guess so.
Last chance, you know. No more gas between here and...
Yeah, I know. Until the next place. I've been hearing that ever since I left Oklahoma City.
I wouldn't kid you. This is the official last stop.
Then why don't you call it last stop instead of whatever that is on that sign?
It says the atom bomb. Call it that, because only a few miles north of here is where they set off the first one. Fellas from the University of California.
And Chicago and Columbia, Washington, every place else. Yeah, I know.
Well, seems you do.
How's your coffee and sandwiches in there?
Oh, best in New Mexico. Go on in. My wife will fix you up.
Thanks. I think I will. Oh, and don't forget to check the oil, will you?
No, never have yet.
Hey, kick that door shut before you let all the flies in.
Oh, of course.
Spring's worn out, you know.
Oh, excuse me, young fellow. Do you mind if I sit down here?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Say, is that your car out there?
Yeah, what's left of it.
Well, I wonder if I could catch a ride with you. I'm hitchhiking and just got let off a mile or so back.
Oh, I guess so. Where are you headed?
Boulder City. Got a job waiting for me.
Well, you're in luck, young man.
Oh, sorry. John Miller's the name.
And I'm Dr. Larkin.
How do you do?
Yeah, you are in luck. I'm going right through Boulder City on my way to Los Angeles.
Order, sir?
Let's see. Oh, just give me a hamburger, will
hamburger.
You? Better make that, too. And plenty of coffee.
Hamburger with coffee.
Boy, am I glad you came along. The Atom Bomb, USA. What a place to be stranded.
I'm glad I could help you out.
Say, is that on the level? I mean, about the atom bomb being exploded around here?
Yeah, it's quite on the level, John. Los Alamos is only about 100 miles from here, I'd say. That's where the big show took place, all right. July 16th, 1945.
Only 5 years ago. Glad I was in the South Pacific with the Navy. It must have been, well, pretty awful.
Awful? Yeah, I guess you might say it was pretty awful. The full-dress rehearsal for a bomber flight over Japan's Hiroshima and the end of the war. A spectacle of power and destruction.
July 16th, 1945. Just before dawn. Men waiting in the darkness for zero. Men from great universities all over the world. Like Sir James Chadwick, Nobel Prize winner. Discoverer of an atomic particle stronger than a million freight trains. Like Professor Ernest Lawrence, Atom Smasher, from the University of California. Men, waiting. The night, dark. Black clouds. An occasional flash of lightning. They waited. It wouldn't be long. They followed instructions, lying face down on the ground, shielding closed eyes with bended arms. 40 seconds. 15. 10. 0. The earth seemed to open and the skies to split. It seemed they lived in the last second of the world's existence. A great ball of fire, a mile across, rising into the heavens. A light not of this world. The light of many suns in one, rising, expanding. Finally, the mighty thunder among the crevices of Sierra Oscura Range. The voice of a newborn world.
Yes, John, you see, it was pretty awful.
Look, I don't get it. Why'd they do it? So we killed 100,000 people to win a war.
And save many more American lives.
Did we? Or were we so nearsighted that we couldn't see beyond our own noses?
What do you
that
mean?
That somebody someday could do the same thing to our cities.
Well, I...
Why'd they do it, this Sir Chadwick and Lawrence, all of them that night?
Well, the atom doesn't belong to July 16th, 1945, that one date and the scientists who were there. The atom wasn't even revealed for the purpose of destruction. Don't forget that. The purpose of science is to know...
To know that you can kill thousands of people with one blow? That's great.
Here's your sandwich and coffee.
Oh, yes, thanks, miss.
Look kind of nice, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Catch it right by your elbow. Just whistle if you want anything else.
What do you do if you can't whistle? Say, let me tell you something about the atom, John. Have you ever had any chemistry or physics school?
A little in high school, but not enough to understand atomic theory, I guess you call it.
Well, that's where a lot of people make a mistake. I suppose you're one. It's really not as difficult as you may have been led to believe. Perhaps if everyone did understand...
Sugar?
Yeah, I'm sorry, dreaming there. You know, John, the Greeks knew about the atom.
Oh?
They knew that all matter is composed of small particles, and believe it or not, they called them just that, atoms. Now, in the Middle Ages, the old alchemists hunched over their benches and realized that all the materials familiar to us, you and me today, iron, water, air, all the rest, are made up of elements and other substances made up of a combination, two or more elements, which give us compounds.
Go ahead, still with you.
Well, now... Over a century ago, an English scientist named John Dalton concluded that elements are able to combine to form compounds because of something within them, something he called atoms. The simplest division of matter? Or was it? Could the atom be split into something else? What does the atom look like? The scientific mind began to question.
An Englishman, J.J. Thompson, by the use of a specially sealed tube called the X-ray tube, blasted from the atom a negative particle which he called the electron. There was something else, but still not enough. So little to go on. Then the counterpart of the negative electron is found, the positive proton. Electron negatively charged, proton positively charged. But how arranged in the atom? What does the atom look like? Then the Curies of France provided that key. Radium gives off particles traveling at a high speed. Since these flying particles must pass through millions of atoms without hitting anything, atoms must be mostly space. The key, atoms must be mostly space.
Atoms, mostly space. Oh, the picture was near at hand, John. In 1912, a Danish scientist, Niels Bohr, took that key. He formed a picture. The atom was like a miniature solar system.
Oh, I see.
In the center, here we have a small sun composed of these positively charged protons. Around this, like so many planets, revolve the negative electrons, held in their whirling paths by this attraction of the proton nucleus.
Oh, I see. Following the old rule that opposite electric charges attract and like electric charges repel.
You've hit it.
Thanks.
Now add this amazing fact. The central nucleus is from 2,000 to 5,000 times heavier than its surrounding electron particles, which means that the greatest weight of all matter is concentrated in the nucleus of the atom, and therefore possesses the greatest energy.
Dr. Larkin, I'm afraid although I see this, it doesn't quite...
Say, mister, your car's all set. Whenever you're ready...
Well, just pull her over to the side, will you? We're in no hurry.
All right, suit yourself.
Not in a bit of a hurry. I'm learning things, I think.
Good.
Well, look, now that I know the secret to atomic energy is in the nucleus, I suppose the weight of the nucleus has something to do with it.
You must have done all right in physics, boy.
Just
it has everything to do with it. Let's see now. Well, Albert Einstein, as early as 1905, suggested that mass... Now, keep the weight of the nucleus in mind, and energy. Mass and energy are aspects of the same thing and might be interchangeable. His formula, E equals MC squared, is really quite simple to understand.
Oh, yes, but not for me, I'm afraid.
Nonsense. E simply stands for energy in terms of ergs, which are small units of energy at work. M stands for mass. C for the speed of light. You can see that. Multiply 1 gram of any substance by the speed of light squared, and the figures are staggering. Don't look like that. Imagine this now. If all the mass in 1 pound of coal could be directly converted into energy, it would equal the energy released in the burning of 1 1/3 million tons of coal. If the mass could be completely converted into energy. That's what our 20th century scientists were beginning to see. If only the nucleus of the atom could be split. They needed a means. They needed a bullet.
July 16th, 1945. Men waiting in the darkness. Men like Sir James Chadwick, Nobel Prize winner, discoverer of the one missing link in the structure of the atom. The missing link, the neutron.
Yes, John, scientists now had their third ingredient, the neutron. They had their bullet to split the atom nucleus, to release a billion genii of energy. You see, John, this neutron, because it is electrically neutral, could pass uninterrupted into the atom nucleus. All other atomic bullets that man had tried bounced right back off the electrical wall. But the neutron bounced right in.
Smash an atom, release a billion tons of energy, and level a town in seconds.
Well, we had no choice. In 1938 and 39, the United States became the refuge for scientists fleeing Nazism. They brought with them the latest developments in atomic research. They brought with them a will to probe further into the interior of the atom. It was a race against destruction, John, a race for survival. Frankly, American scientists at first took coolly to the use of their precious atom for war purposes. But at least they did respond. Uranium, the heaviest element, became the mass. The neutron was the bullet-smashing, concentrated atomic nuclei, releasing other neutrons, which in turn smashed other nuclei. There was your chain reaction. The atomic bomb was born, and with not too much time to spare.
Yeah, I guess they had little choice.
Only remember this one thing, John, if nothing else. The scientist found the answer because he wanted to know, not destroy. Yeah, there's still much to know, too. Even the atomic blast utilized only 0.1% of the total energy present. We have a challenge in atomic power, John. We have a slave that may even give us the answer to life itself. Yeah, if we can stay alive.
Say, mister, don't mean to be interrupting, but I ain't got too much room out there in the drive. Got you filled up.
Yes, so all right. Thanks very much. We'll be right with you.
Hello.
Well, come on, John. We've got a long drive, and I... Oh, what's the matter? Anything wrong?
Oh, I've been thinking, Dr. Larkin. Maybe if you don't mind, I think I'll thumb my way up toward Los Alamos. Well, I'd like to see the place where, well, where it all began.
I don't mind at all, John. I really think it's a wonderful idea. I even wish I could go with you.
Well, then why don't you?
Well, it's a long drive back to the University of California, and I'm way overdue now. Besides,
Here's your check, sir.
Well, thanks very much, miss.
Hey, come again.
We will, thank you. Besides, John, I've been at Los Alamos before, standing in the sand waiting for Zero and that flash of your new age. Yeah, I've been up there before, John, on July 16th, 1945.
You have been listening to another program from Great Days in Science, the Indiana School of the Sky Science Series. In the cast were John Taylor, Bob Messi, Richard Morgan, Lamar Crass, Colleen Allen, and Julius Miller. Sound and music by Aldana May. The program was written by Fred L. Gerber and directed by Jack Mickey.
Next week, the story of a new science and a program called How Men Behave.
This series is produced by the Radio Department of Indiana University and reaches you through the cooperation of the Indiana State Department of Education.